and I'm constantly trying to reach people in such a high country. And we really have wondered some of these evenings that such people were invested with such courage.
Well, the likes of Mordecai, when you read it again and again, you really feel you've never actually met anyone in your being quite like Mordecai.
And for his family, we did it before, it was more than that. And last evening, we saw very touchingly that while he was faithful to God, he was faithful to his own kith and kin.
For he said to Esther, if at this time you would hold your peace,
he said, remember that enlargement and deliverance will come unto Israel from another source altogether. All he really has discovered in his life is that Esther, if you're not going to do it, God is not going to help you, and God is not set to strength you. He said, I really believe, Esther, that you were born for this very moment. You were born for this very day. And last evening, I think very, very tellingly, we felt that God has not brought us into this world for
just to have a place or be allowed to make substance, but has brought us into salvation and into the body of Christ.
But he has brought us in for his own purpose. And we thought that he felt the shame last week in our own hearts.
That possibly the most have never yet discovered the reason why they were ever born here.
Knowest thou not, Father, thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
Well, we find that Esther obeys the commands of Mordecai, and we find that although she's a queen, and although she's accepted in her own right,
the moment she decides to go in before the king and supplicate for the people, for they're about to be slain,
we notice how lovely thing about her,
and we must repeat it, because good things are not repeating as long as we don't be common and exceedingly boring them. And so we want to see that the lovely feature of Esther was this, that as she made up her mind to come before the king and plead
for the cause of the people of God, we want to see that she said unto Mordecai, who the chamberlain,
she said, come, Mordecai, to go and pray,
and tell all the Jews to go and pray.
And she said, I and my maidens will also pray. Notice, she's quite a character. She has been appointed out of 127 provinces. She's a beautiful woman. She's accepted by the king. She's seen on the throne. And yet, there is a sweet message name of dependence upon God in the whole matter. Now, even though we have been accepted, and even though we might be able, and even though we may have been successful, the great thing to learn is to be absolutely dependent upon God. And not only so, to value the prayers of other people. You could imagine some Jewish school or preacher like us saying to someone, now mind and pray for us. Mind and pray for us. But you know, Paul says to the church, pray for us, brethren, and pray for the gospel, and pray that the word of the Lord might have free course and run in God's glory by. And the size of a man and woman is that they are conscious that they need God and that they need others' prayers in this work. And so that beautiful faith of Esther, notice in chapter 5, she's going in before Ahasuerus and she's going before the king. Notice that she is dressed in an apparel that would be she puts on the royal palace. When she's going in before the throne, she is dressed in a suitable garment that befits going to which she is approaching. Is there not a lovely moral lesson there? That when we come before the Lord, there should be something in the mind about us without being Jewish or without being ultra sanctimonious? But should there not be a measure of coming into the presence of God? One has been praying before God for years and has known the presence of God in many remarkable ways, but never yet have we ever felt familiar in the presence of God. We've never yet felt familiar. We've felt at home and we've felt accepted, but we've never yet felt.
of Daniel. Abram was my friend. When Abram had not thought that, Abram thought he was just a nation and possibly that would make you in the presence of war. And so she has an apparel that is befitting the presence of war. Now when we come to the time when the Queen of Sheba gets to see the wonders of Solomon's voyage, there are things that she noticed. Some people, I think, just look out with their head in the air. They never noticed that. And then there are people that are still moving, they know everything. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? But the thing is, she thought was in the standards, and she noticed. She noticed Solomon's approach.
And she noticed the papers there, and she noticed the ministers, and it says she noticed there. You see, the apparel was suitable to the place wherein they were serving. And what's impressing upon you is this, that I feel in our testimony that we have lost a decorum, and we have lost a dignity that should mark the people of God. I think it's a shame that we call it a meeting. You know, I do think there must be many a place that a meeting that's not accepted. Just as the Jews called them the Feast of the Jews, but initially they were the Feast of Jehovah. And so, when we make something that is sacred common, it must be most pleasing to the Lord. But the point is, the wisdom of Esther in all these matters, I would love to obtain you without the chapter, the wisdom of this woman, she would not go to the throne of Solomon. She would not come before the king unless she was in a dignified appearance. There's something deep, and I want you to read the lesson out of it without me just having gone to the point. Notice too, when she does come before the king, it says she's stood as a woman. She doesn't run up to the throne as if she had a right to do that, but she stood in the throne.
Now that is, she stood in the uttermost point
where the throne was, only within sight of the throne.
She stood there. And when she stood in the throne, she said,
without speaking, she said, I'm in the position of the servant. I'm in the position of one that is needing extra blessing. I need something. She stood to me.
Could I bring another point out of that without wasting your time?
I do think that many of our prayers that we talk about that are not answered, I do feel it's not because God is not equal. Neither is it because God is not willing. But possibly because God can meet that the attitude of our hearts is not right. And you can't dictate the world. You can't work with the world. You can't go to God and say, oh God, bless it, and just put your signature to my plans and my desires. I appeal to you tonight. She stood in the throne. She was the queen. She was the wife of the king. And yet she took the place. Humble, suffragant. You know, Abraham would just bless you that are heavenly and earthly. Your seat shall be as the stars of the sky, and as the sand that is by the seashore in your mouth. But what did he think about himself? What was the basis of that flesh?
The basis of his lips.
But he said, because I am only your solution. I am only your solution. And that was the basis of him getting the blessing from Almighty God. What was the blessing that came to the centurion? Do not pray that thou shouldst. How did the man go down from the temple justified rather than the other? Because he believed that he was the sinner. God be propitious to me, the sinner. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that she came with the right apparel. I'm saying she put herself in the right place. And then when she stepped into Capernaum, she put herself in the proper posture before the king. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that wonders could be wrought and deliverance could be brought about. understanding the matter, and can't be happy or fair life while watching on the book of Esther. And oh, goodness, goodness. Even though she had all these glorious things about her, she still couldn't come unless the king would stretch out the golden scepter. What am I trying to make out of this? Even though you were ever so keen, and ever so humble, and ever so properly attired to come before him, if he will not extend the invitation, if he will not bid thee to come, all is in vain. All the glory is his, you see. All the glory must be his. All the communications, all the links, all the messages, all the mediation, it's all his. That's a wonderful thing to understand about prayer. That even though you could be ever so zealous and fervent and so habitually consistent, if it were not for his intercession and his appeal and his mediation, then our prayers would never get to heaven. And so he puts out the golden scepter. You know, if he did not put out the golden scepter, it meant death to Esther. All I want to suggest something to you tonight. Our God has ever stretched the golden scepter to every subject of Esther's nature. I've never known a soul that ever I offered in fellowship, I've never met a man that ever I share in gospel and ministry, that threw themselves at the feet of Almighty God, the way that Esther did, that didn't get the blessing in the way of the answer. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to say to you that God is not only listening to our words. Mind you, if the prayer, if the words that are sent up by our prayers publicly are all that God has to go by, I tell you, no wonder we're so weak. I pray to God there are men crying to them in secret. I'm glad the assembly is not really being helped by the public prayers. It must be by the private prayers of people who know who knows anything. Oh, there are the beautiful things here about that. The way is made clear. Notice the question of the kingdom. The question of the king is this: what wilt thou, O Esther? Here is really the question of a lifetime. Here is really the thing that everyone would really love. What wilt thou, O Esther, even unto the heart of the kingdom? What wilt thou, O Esther?
For I am as conscious as you are, because of the heart of, as the heart of man answers to a man, and as the heart of as face answers to face in wonder, so does the heart of a man to man. Let me ask you a question. What has been your highest ambition? Not last week or yesterday. What's the thing you've created in your strength?
What will the what will
you remember Elijah's just about to leave Elisha? And this is what he says to Elisha.
What will the Elisha? What would you like?
More money in the life? A bigger house to live?
All you like, Elisha.
I would love to have a portion of this share.
I would love to be able to do twice as much
for God's people as you have done. What will thou, Esther? What would you really like, Esther? I want to ask you a question. What would you like?
You need women at the meeting. What would you love most of all? You men, you young men. What's your ambition tonight?
What if you were up with something like this?
What would you say? No, get up! No, mate!
What would you really love? You know, I've met people. I know they would like to be in the end, especially in the world. And there was lots of emotion. And there was lots of emotion. What would you like? What would you like?
I'm not talking about jobs now.
That really isn't very important.
Well, I'm speaking about what I want to know.
tell you the master shop is only one thing. And he is the shop. He was the call of Jesus. And then there are all the people above the GI. And then the Easter kingdom and my people. And I love you. Oh, above the GI's people and the extras people. Have you ever felt that we are the worst people? Now, some people speak very swellish, never. Really, my friend, it seems to put a knife in my heart when I hear people speaking this kind of thing of the Lord's people. And they really talk about the brethren in yon sort of a way as if we are a sort of second group. I would be that. Do you understand, my friend? They're guests. They're more the Jewish people. You know, I love the people of Rome because I know God loves them. And I have no excuse not for loving them. I'll tell you why. Because God knows all about them and still loves them. Let alone me loving them. I could circumscribe them.
What will that
do? Oh, that's the Esther. Oh, that was the test of a lifetime. Can I just turn that in a little bit closer on you?
Maybe that's your spell of failure, isn't it? Maybe that test has been put to you.
Arms up the wall. gives him a lot of advice on what to do. He says, tell me what you do. You're so much better, you should just get a camel's bed. You see, it makes a difference. Hand that little Jew up to the camels.
They're meant to you.
If you had built a camel's, I can understand. But to build a camel's 50 cubits, and I never was a good son, so, in fact, it's for some Indians, I've always been to the side, isn't that?
I did get it out of
here. You can get rid of a man without doing it so publicly, can't you? Without doing it in such an ostentatious way. You think of it, 75 feet high. This roof here is what, about 12, George, eh? About 12 feet, or 10 to 12 feet high. 75 feet high was the gallows. So high was this little fortress, this little gate man.
On the gallows. The pacemakers from the
can you understand that everyone should forget the price rate for many things? You should tell them that you never speak of it, then you should move on again. And I think if you tell them that he wore the dress in which he should listen to it.
You understand all these little bits and pieces, and I've done that good of it.
You should tell them what to do in the assembly. How should they run the church in the order? Very, very unhappy about that. It makes the woman forget. There is a cruel stupidness about church.
I think it's your book.
And you have to tell yourself.
Not only so, he goes out the gate, and before he comes to Zarius, of course, I should have mentioned this, as he's coming home that night, no later this night, he comes home after getting promotion and remuneration of the salaries. He's no like it, don't you?
But when he went out the gate, everyone else was bowing, but this little man said,
by this time, he didn't murder him, neither did he do a reverence in the other chapters. But now he's not even moving for him. Not even moving for him. You would think with all the trouble that's been caused, he would eat a little bit. He would not at least. And all the pleasure that he had in his promotion, they were all down and down because one little man.
It's amazing how a little beat in the boat sinks the boat, isn't it? It's amazing how a little short of breath in the floor of the man.
It's amazing how a little bit of food for in the plants and the house, the value just is away all the time. It's amazing how just a little thing. Even with all his medals and all his victories,
and Mordecai was a what? In this man's place.
So I feel to you.
Here it is. Human things are very, very short-lived indeed.
Chapter 6, a restless night for the king.
You think a man that had 127 provinces and had waves and had money and had soldiers and everything, you wouldn't think that he really would have a restless night, would you?
Because have you seen how people do the restless things? How God gets them on in the night? You know what they're doing in the day. God can break in you.
Also,
God can break in you. You know, there's nothing worse than lying, twisting and turning all night and longing for the day. There's nothing worse than that. Nothing at all. He's in charge of all provinces.
But God's really in control of that.
When he speaks from his eyelids, he's up and he's up and he's down and he's up and he's down. He says, bring me something for each so that I'll put me away.
Nothing so boring as the records of the kings or the meats of the heavens. Nothing so boring that would put you over. It's a dominant and an intervention.
That is true. You might say, and it should have happened about 5 years of Peter's.
This is Mordecai had got the finance,
and had saved the king's life, and had brought the traitor to judgment. He says, what's been done for Mordecai?
Nothing has been done.
There is.
Nothing. come, but no complaint was ever registered. No one ever heard more than the air saying, they didn't appreciate it. And they didn't give me my place. And I was due something. Never, ever get that out of Mordecai. You get that out of Haman, but you'll never get that out of Mordecai. He did it out of duty, and he did it because it was honest. And because it was right, he did it for duty's sake. So we find that the king decides that he should become for Mordecai. And here, in the next moment, we find, as the king, as the morning breaks, the king is up. And we know that someone else is up early. That is Haman. He's up early too.
You know, one idea, once I want to tell you, and you said that you're up and I tell you the devil's up to go. You know, in John chapter 8, it says very early in the morning, Jesus came into the temple. And we know the Pharisees were up early too, bring the response of Jesus. Well, the devil's up early too. And Haman didn't fast. He didn't fast with his request. That he might take the gallows and hang Mordecai. That was the reason why he went up. But he's up. And there he is, and up he comes in. He's about to give his request that Mordecai might be hung. And the king says, I want to ask you a question. What would you do to the man that I am? What would you do if it had happened to that man? And of course, you see the man. You see how he thinks. Who would the king be like to honor more than myself? Myself. Oh, the thing is just living, isn't it? Myself. And I can tell you this, that you're in Haman's place. You're in Haman's place. And it doesn't matter what we can get in. You're in Haman's place. You're always in.
Very, very sad.
Make you understand that if you
you have made up your mind publicly to do something bad, remember that I've been covering with a new resource. I hope you understand that.
Oh, I would love to be in the numerator on that.
That if we don't make assessments and minor adjustments in the church in all matters of morals and purity and behavior, I want to tell you what over there in the right eye. He would love us to do it. But if we don't do it, he will not do it. And you'll love to our credit. And love to our honor. That will be done. I tell you that. It will be done. And if you're amongst the brigade that keeps hiding and covering and whitewashing, I want to tell you, you're in for a great shock someday. I don't know who you are, but I know you're in for a shock.
It's the Corinthians that judge the last inches. And judge the people that are in that prison. They never will be the exposure and the shame of the human minds. May you understand that they brought sin in a horrible way. So, you notice too in this chapter that after he is hanged, the minute that he is, it's then that Esther lets her relationship with Mordecai or we've just seen an amazing to do the dispensational setting of this beautiful book. For undoubtedly, Haman is a happy picture of the Antichrist. Undoubtedly, Mordecai is a picture. Undoubtedly, Esther is the Jews scattered abroad and going to both nations and has power on the throne and in the administration of the valley. Oh, there is something deep in this beautiful book and something very, very blessed. And here, just at the right time, she acknowledges that she is like a Mordecai. Notice the wisdom of this woman again. Notice how she could go. Notice how she could be a regent. Notice how she didn't tell her people. Notice how she could control her emotions and control her feelings. And now, just at the right time, where am I sure it thinks there's no one like Mordecai? It's then. She tells the relationship between her and Mordecai. All of wisdom in all these matters. Isn't that amazing? The real grief. Whatever you do, don't tell the blemishes of the Lord's people.
Don't tell even of weaknesses. Oh, and never tell of wickedness. They'll do them no good as they are, and you led them not by the way of the first things, lest they should see one. Oh, what a pain for what? They never went to the war till only 20 years of age. Oh, the shame for trouble, but they're telling them trouble. And so she had a real, real estimate of the people of God.
How can I be happy? How can I be settled? How can I be awake? How can I be a queen when my people's life is in danger?
Oh, my feelings. They're really body feelings, aren't they? They're really body feelings.
I wish you could have body feelings.
I am going to finish.
And the world will be like the two options. Yes, it's the street. The fear of the Jews held them all. The fear of the Jews held them all over the world. But the key I had control, best in the world, the fear of the Jews held them all over the world.
Oh, my friend, that's one of the wonderful things of the presence of God. When God's presence is rolling in the assembly, there's a fear, there's a dread. Even when people rejoice. Even when people rejoice. Oh, the Lord, you understand. And then, the theme of Mordecai went abroad. Then, let us come to this one. It came to a point when the people had discovered that they were free. They couldn't be changed because the reason of the person's laws had been changed. But the king gave another edict that every Jew should stand for his life and defend himself. And they did defend themselves, and thousands were slain of the Agagite party. The point I want to raise with you is this. Oil defeated them and slew them and says three times over, yet they took not the spoil. Yet they took not the spoil. Yet they took not the spoil. There was in the nature to take the spoil. But you see, in these provinces, the true children of Abraham were here. Who was that the name of Abraham? He took not the spoil. You remember that the thing about Zacchaeus? He is the son of Abraham. These lovely things in this chapter. It really is a beautiful.